The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode. Big headline to discuss today. Before we get into that, make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review. It helps us go up in the rankings and reach more people and spread this message to our community all over the world. And make sure you subscribe to the show as well. And also, if you are looking to buy your first or next investment property in 2024, I just came out with a free guide that's going to walk you through the steps. There's some worksheets as well, so you can start putting your plan together. Go to the link in the description and you can check that out. All right, let's jump right into it. So I posted this on Instagram yesterday and it got a lot of traction and a lot of opinions. So I figured I would come on the show and talk about it in more detail. There's only so much I can say in a 30-second reel, 45-second reel. So I'm going to explain exactly what's going on to you all, give you context, and then also give my thoughts. I look forward to hearing what you think. So make sure you let me know what you think of this. So here's the headline. Democrats in Congress have introduced a bill in both houses of Congress to ban hedge funds from buying and owning single family homes in the United States. This is huge. And so I'm going to go into a little more detail. So this would require hedge funds to sell off their single family homes that they own over a 10-year period. And it actually may prohibit them from owning them at all. And so during this phase out period, there's going to be tax penalties, and the proceeds from those tax penalties will be reserved for down payment assistance for those who are looking to buy homes from the corporate owners. So let's just say you're in Charlotte, right? And this thing passes and there is a home that a hedge fund is selling off. If you want to buy one of those homes, the taxes that they've had to pay over the 10-year period will be reserved for down payment assistance for you, if that makes sense. And so this is called the End Hedge Fund Control of American Homes Act, straight to the point. And this is super interesting, but this is not it. There is another bill that's been presented, and it's called the American Neighborhoods Protection Act. So this bill would require corporate landlords with more than 75 single family homes to pay an annual fee of $10,000 per home. So if I read this correctly, that is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Let's just say that. So the money from that annual fee will go into a housing trust fund that's also going to be used as down payment assistance for families. Now, they did mention in the article, this came from the New York Times, that due to us having a divided Congress, these bills are not likely to pass. And I agree with that. So let me give you some background and some context. A couple months back, the New York Times put out a story about corporate-backed investments, specifically in Charlotte, North Carolina. And what they discovered is that in 2022, investors purchased 17% of the city's homes in cash. I'm assuming homes on the market, or maybe 17% overall. I'm not sure what they mean. And often outcompeting first-time home buyers who heavily rely on mortgages. Now, you know, if I'm a seller, I'm probably going to go with someone who can close in cash because the closing process is much quicker and I can get my money and get on much quicker. So from a seller perspective, I get it. And something else that they mentioned as well is that these type of trends are happening in neighborhoods that have a large Black and Latino populations, with the properties being converted into rentals. And also talked about in one neighborhood in East Charlotte, Wall Street-backed investors bought half of the homes that sold in 2021 and 2022. Now, I don't know how many homes that is. You know, I think it's worded very interestingly. You know, it could be an insignificant number of homes and it could be a very small neighborhood. But I guess the point they're trying to make is that, you know, they're creeping into certain areas. Now, the thing is, these kind of companies, these hedge funds, they only own 3% of single family homes. And so, you know, maybe there's a fear that it's going to grow. But again, you know, if you're in a certain city or in a certain neighborhood and, you know, corporations, these hedge funds are buying up all the properties, I could see how you could feel threatened by that or how somebody could feel threatened by that. And it goes on to say, on one block, all but one home that sold during that period sold in cash to an investor who rented it out. So that's the context. That's what's going on. And those are the bills that have been presented. So I'm going to shift gears right now and get into my thoughts. So I believe this has absolutely no chance of passing. And the issue is not investors. The issue is not hedge funds. Percentage-wise, that is not the issue when you look at transactions at large, specifically with single family homes. The problem is inventory and interest rates. As a nation, we are short in terms of housing by the millions. We're millions of houses short. So we need to develop more. That is the problem, especially in those cities where there is room to develop and build further out, subdivisions and so forth. Some cities are really good at it and many are not. And in my opinion, we need to develop more. So that's the first thing. And interest rates, obviously interest rates have been at record highs over the last year or so, and that's kept a lot of people out of the market. And there are talks of interest rates coming down, and I'm going to put an episode about that very shortly, but there's talks of interest rates coming down. And I personally don't think that's really going to help people, because when the interest rates go down, there's still limited inventory. I believe the prices are going to go up, and you still have people. Most people have very low interest rates. So someone with a 2%, 3%, and 4% interest rate is not going to sell for a 5.5%, 6%, 6.5%, so on and so forth interest rate. For most people, it just doesn't make sense unless you absolutely have to sell. So we're never going to get back to the 2s and 3s again. I don't believe that's ever going to happen again. And those who are locked into those low rates are less inclined to sell and go into another property. And so I think we're still going to have the issues that we have unless all efforts point to development. All efforts are put into more development and increasing the inventory so the prices can stabilize. That's my opinion. That's what I think. You let me know what your thoughts are. I would love to hear from you. And so, you know, I think this is just to get votes. You know, we're coming into election season. The presidential election is coming up next year, and a whole lot of things we need to vote for are coming up in the next year. And I think this is just to make an impression of some sort of effort. I believe they know this is not going to pass. They know this has no chance, but they want to seem like they're working on something and trying to advocate for their constituents. That's my opinion. And, you know, I want to encourage you, if you're listening here right now and you live in a city where you feel like it's impossible, I encourage you to get out of your comfort zone. It's easier said than done. I understand. I empathize. I know what it feels like. But you may have to move a little bit further out. If you want to remain where you are and you feel like it's too expensive, you may need to consider moving further out. You may need to consider moving into an area that's on the come up. Maybe it doesn't have everything you want, but maybe it has what you need and you can just start there. But we're in an age, fam, where we have to get out of our comfort zones. You can't expect that the neighborhood you grew up in, you're going to be able to buy a house there, or that it's your right to buy a house there. I mean, it's a numbers game. If you can't afford it, you got to look at another option. I don't mean to discourage you, and I hope this doesn't discourage you, but we need to have a reality check. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you might have to move out a little bit. You might have to go out into the suburbs. You may not be able to be in the city. You might have to move to another city eventually in general. And I understand it can be tough, but our ancestors did it. You know, people move from the south to the north. People move from the south to the west and so forth. And many of us, myself included, our ancestors and parents moved from completely different countries. So it's possible. It's not comfortable, but this is just the market that we're in. And so I really encourage you to get out of your comfort zone. If you want to remain where you are, but you want to get into real estate investing and it's hard where you are, consider investing out of state. That's what I had to do. I'm in LA. I'm living here right now. I can't invest here. I can't afford it. It's insane. But I invest out of state and it's cool. It's possible. It's something that you can do. And so definitely let me know what you think. And, you know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to try something new. Maybe you're the first person from your family who even consider moving from wherever you live. But if that's what you need to do to fulfill the dream of home ownership for a better opportunity for you and those around you, then that's just what you have to do. And I encourage you to take that step. You know, download that guide I mentioned, get a plan together, see what it is that you can do. And if you want to invest out of state, I have plenty of things that can help you with that. I'm having a workshop that's taking place January 17th. We're going to talk about how to find the right city, how to build your team, creative financing, how to analyze deals, how to find deals. So definitely tap into that if you are someone who wants to invest out of state. Go to outofstatemoney.com/workshop and you can find all the information or simply click the link in the description. But like I said, a lot of these major cities, well, all these major cities, it's not going to get significantly cheaper. And it just is what it is. You know, we can't just wait for things to change. They're not going to change. When interest rates come down, it's going to be a frenzy. So I encourage you to put yourself in position, do everything you can. And I look forward to supporting you along the way. I hope this encourages you to think outside of the box. That's the best thing to do in this day and age, in my opinion. And I look forward to hearing from you. So if you haven't already, make sure you leave that 5-star rating and review. It'll take you just a moment. Again, I appreciate you so, so much as we close the year out. I'm thankful for your support. Whether this is your first show or whether this is your 100th show, I appreciate you. And I look forward to continuing to put out news and information that's going to help you on your journey. All right. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.